The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. We're going to have a look at some of your comments coming in. Pat the Cope would make a great president, and I'm sure that there would be a lot of people within Fianna Fáil hierarchy that would like to see it happen. For surely, after 14 years in the Áras, he would at least have to consider retirement from political life. Catherine Connolly for president, this listener says. Another says, good gracious, Sinn Féin would do anything for publicity, getting rid of traditions that have been in existence since it all began. I hope this is defeated. Such a ridiculous waste of precious dull time before the summer recess. I think that might be in relation to there were calls for the dull prayer and bowing to the Cancorla to be scrapped. So that's possibly in relation to that. No Donegal person should vote for Mairead McGuinness. Isn't she the one denying us a surgical hub in Letterkenny by doing a prop-up deal with the government? It's meant to be non-political role. Paddy Bonner is the man. Mairead McGuinness only wants what's best for Sligo, lest we forget. That is actually Marion Harkin, Deputy Marion Harkin, that was on with Greg when she said that the surgical hub for Sligo was part of a deal with the government formation. Why are e-scooters still allowed in our footpaths a year after legislation was brought in? No one can answer me, even the local Gardaí. It's beggar's belief. Don't offend the Israeli government. Genocide murders, that's what they are, believes this listener. No fault to General Kelly, but his leader is the head of government in this country to deny children to come out of conflict and experience a different lifestyle for a few weeks. Not much to ask for government. Failed again in leadership like everything else in this country. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly did agree that much more could have been done in relation to the GAA Palestine group being denied visas to come to Ireland. Is Councillor Kelly aware that the government has ignored the rules he mentioned by allowing thousands of undocumented into the country but won't allow a group of real persecuted children in to play sport and get a break from genocide? A lot more came into the country, this listener says, since the war in Ukraine, especially in the early stages, with no visas etc. at all and no right checks. 30 years ago, Councillor PJ Blake tried to warn us about this and he was laughed at. That maybe is in relation to the high cocaine use. I'm not sure about that. Blimey, a Millwall fan in Ireland, that's a first. Come on, West Ham, says this listener. Katie Turrell McCafferty was saying she's a Millwall fan, and whenever she moved over, her neighbour was a West Ham fan and she thought she was escaping them. So maybe it's the neighbour texting in there. I think that we need to target first years in secondary schools to stop drug use. We need to give them confidence not to give in to peer pressure. People who've experienced drugs should come in and give talks about how their life was destroyed along with their families. We need to prevent drug issues, not work on recovery. That's it. There's no point acting when it's too late. And there, I talked about it during the first hour, that there are so many campaigns, but obviously the issue isn't getting through, and there's such a focus on dangerous driving now and driving under the influence that maybe, you know, we've shifted our focus to that a lot, obviously to prevent fatalities on the road, that, you know, there's so many elements that need to be targeted, and it's trying to pitch it correctly to get results out of it. Look at rallying. It brings all community and religions together and no issues or hatred. That's correct. The orange card had been played again. The old sectarianism is alive and hasn't gone away. Stop the hate march in Rossnaile, this listener says. Flag waving Union Jacks laughing at the Catholic people here and our government accommodating them. I don't know about that. I wouldn't label it a hate march now at all, and I wouldn't say that people are laughing at Catholic people. There are, you know, a small minority of people that, you know, engage in that kind of behaviour, but that's not all, and we need to respect different cultures, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a march or people burning bonfires, but we just need respect, I suppose, on both sides. People need to realise it doesn't have to be that deep, this listener says. Let the winds play. So we were talking earlier about, you know, the County Down Cricket Club cancelling their cross-community event because of a bit of backlash, because there was children from East Belfast GAA due to travel to take part in the event as well. At the end of the day, this listener says, this is children we are talking about, very stubborn adults once again ruining it. What about the children who go to every single match and families are now not able to afford to go to the €100 ticket final? That relates to the All-Ireland final, which is taking place next weekend. Where was the poll taken? Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil head offices. Nonsense. Country going down the pan. People can't afford to feed their families with the cost of groceries, cost of fuel to get to and from work, to heat their homes. Homelessness over 15,000. Average family is going to have to find over 1,000 euro with back to school costs, costs of electricity or gas, no cost of living package. Absolute nonsense, because we don't know what that narcissist Trump will do. Crap government, crap country, and oh, it's all Sinn Féin's fault. Get a grip at printing that nonsense. So that was in relation to a poll, Ipsos poll in the, on the front of the Irish Times yesterday. Hi, I have made 5 phone calls to Donegal County Council. 2 people have been littering the path with garden debris, making this public coastal inaccessible for walkers. Nothing has changed since my first call on June the 30th. The various teams are not responding to calls. Can you bring attention to this, please? We're talking a lot about Donegal flags this week. I'm going to dub it, I think, Flag Gate at this moment in time. So in relation to the flag issue again, my flags are out for the, from the first game, Karen says on Facebook. Another says, good morning everyone at Highland Radio. My flags are up since the Ulster Championship and best of luck to the Donegal team on Sunday week. Another listener, Lisa, says, morning, my flags are flying in Glenswilly for 2 months now. Areas do seem to be becoming a bit competitive in relation to this. You know, one area is looking great and another there's no flags up. But yeah, momentum is building and I do see more and more flags being erected across the county. So there's still plenty of time to go. Another listener says, how do GAA clubs decide which fully paid members get priority? Why do politicians automatically get tickets? Another says, you play because you want to. The love of the sport, whatever the sport it is, and coaching, nobody put a gun to your head and forces anybody. I'm not sure what that is in relation to. Another couple of your comments for now. Hi, my family are coming over for the blessing of the graves at Coghill Buncrana. I've been told that it is cancelled due to football. Is this a joke? They have their tickets booked. So on Buncrana Parish Facebook page, the notice reads, Graveyard Sunday update. Following Donegal's win in the All-Ireland semi-final yesterday, the decision has been made to move the Coghill Graveyard Mass, which was due to take place on Sunday the 27th of July at 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday the 26th of July. There will also be an extra Mass on Sunday the 27th of July at 7:30 a.m. in the Oratory. The full Mass schedule for that weekend is below. Please share and let anyone not on Facebook know. So there you go, that's the update as it relates to Graveyard Sunday in the Coghill area of Buncrana. We had a great conversation yesterday with Amber Carr and Sarah Terry, who are popular on social media relating to abuse that they have suffered recently or family members have suffered recently. A listener says, in relation to the trolling on social media, we recently posted our car for sale through Marketplace and Monday last I was receiving private messages which I believe to have been a bot or a scam. We knew straight away the messages were off, but this person was demanding to see the NCT report before viewing the car, and although we told them we couldn't share such documents over social media, they kept replying, to which we eventually started to ignore. We can only think that these people were hoping to use our documents and car pictures from our post to scam people. Just want to make people aware of selling online and to be very careful of sharing documents or details. Another listener says, I think the new way of being taught at home is causing problems. When we were being brought up, we were taught to respect everyone, have manners, plus a lot of stuff is nobody's business what others do. Exactly. Listening to Amber and Sarah's stories about the nasty comments on their posts, do unto others as you would like to be done unto yourself. That's what I think it was Sarah was saying, that once, or maybe it was Amber, once you clicked into one of the profiles in their bio, it said be kind. So obviously that person, it's do what I say and not what I do. I think that's the same. Hi, I heard about TikTok comment issues there now. I'd like to add that you can't actually put any comment on TikTok without getting in trouble, whilst others can get away with it. They denied my appeal, which my comment just said 21, replying to an age question on a video. I emailed the company, which they didn't help, and then now I have reached out to Commission Naman, which are reviewing my case. It's just ridiculous, this listener says. And another says, we now live in a narcissistic society fueled by social media. This addiction to self and the need for attention is so unhealthy. This kind of self-promotion is a breeding ground for spiteful, cowardly trolls. Any wonder the mental health of our nation is in crisis? Well, I suppose some people really do enjoy just posting, enjoy creating videos, that it's not necessarily, you know, self-promotion. A lot of people, you know, say if they work with brands or, you know, they make a living off this as well. So I don't think it's self-promotion. And in terms of Amber and Sarah, I think they just enjoy the social media sphere and creating content. And, you know, I just don't think that that really warrants the abuse then that they would get. But yeah, I agree that it does incite then these trolls, and the trolls feel that they have the right to come on and say whatever they want. We're going to take another quick ad break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Ryan Turner, who many will know as country musician from Carndonagh. And Ryan has been sharing his amazing story of being 10 years sober. Good morning to you, Ryan.
Good morning, Michaela.
So, Ryan, I suppose we'll go back to what your life was like before you made that decision.
Yeah, well, life was crazy before I made that decision, you know. I thought life was perfectly normal. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I will say. I thought what I was doing was cool. And obviously, being a musician, being in the environment of alcohol mm-hmm. all the time, you know, there's no escaping it when you're a musician. And even though I tried not to let alcohol affect my work, I was in the environment. You're always having a few pints or whatever. But I guess being a musician, you were working Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So I had this theory where Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday was my weekend.
Yeah.
That was my time out. And I would go to the pub. And, you know, I suppose it all started like that.
And the nature of your career, it's long hours. You're on the road as well. That you do you deserve that break then?
Of course. You look forward to your couple of days off and you know, doing different things. But it became something that I relied on, mm-hmm. Michaela, you know, and it just crept right up in me without even knowing, you know. And again, as I say, I thought it was perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Until, you know, a number of years of it, you know, and people started to point things out to me, which was abnormal, you know, and what I was doing was completely wrong. I had a very young family, and, you know, that they were being neglected mm-hmm. by me, not being there as their dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of factors. And
you didn't realise that at the time, but obviously looking back now, I'm sure it's not a regret, but, you know, you do feel it. But as you say, you didn't notice yourself when you were in the middle of it.
Totally. I didn't notice myself. And as I say, it just something that happened without me even knowing. You know, and I know lots of people that can happen to, you know, it's alcoholism. Do you know, I only discovered afterwards when I eventually, it's not something to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something to be embarrassed about. It creeps up on people. You don't, it's not something you ever intend.
Yeah.
And I have ultimate respect for anybody that goes out at the weekend and has a few drinks. Mm-hmm. I admire them. I'm one of those people that couldn't do that.
Yeah.
There's lots of other people like me.
And recognising that is a massive step.
Well, that's the biggest step. You know, it's realising that you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the first step to beating it. To overcoming it, you know. So,
and what was that point that made you realise I need to change here?
Well, again, I have friends. I'm very blessed that I have good friends, and within the industry, mm-hmm. good friends of mine. You know, and one particular friend, Shuni Cramsey, who's also a musician, who had been down the road, and you know, Shuni had said to me on several occasions, he says, you know, you'd want to think about maybe why don't you back off or quit. You know, and I didn't think I had a problem.
Yeah.
And different people then, you know, family and one thing and another. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I was drinking too much. And so eventually I give in and I made a plan and I says, right, I'll try it. And one of the things that Shuni pointed out to me, Michaela, was you've got to do a year.
Okay.
You know, if you can do a year alcohol free mm-hmm. And prove to yourself
That you can do it.
That's you know, but you've got to do a first Christmas. You've got to do a first birthday. Go to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. You've got that first. You have to cross all those firsts. And so I made a date and I planned it all out. Coincidentally, I was always interested in the Donegal International Rally, so it was the 21st of June, and I wanted to get the rally out of the way.
Very good.
And 21st of June 2015, I made that was my date, and I started that day, and the first couple of days was fine. There was no issue. A week went by, 2 weeks, and I started to get I knew, and it was probably about 3 months of sobriety and plenty of help that I realised, because it's not until you're completely sober that your mind starts to, you start to think about things you were doing when you were drinking.
Yeah.
And that's when the penny dropped with me, like, I really had a drink problem.
Yeah.
You know, and things like, which I didn't realise while I was drinking, but I could go drinking for 2 or 3 days, Michaela, and come to the point that I could drink no more, but I was making myself sick.
Yeah.
I seen me going to a toilet, putting my fingers down my throat just so that I could keep going.
Mm.
And, you know, that seemed perfectly normal.
Yeah.
While
and
I was
it was
drinking.
Part of your routine.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about there earlier, you know, you were gigging and then, you know, days whenever, you know, Wednesday, Thursday or whatever was your weekend.
Yeah.
That was part of your routine. It's like anybody, you know, like my routine is on a Saturday morning, get up, clean the house, you know, but that was yours. So
that
it's,
was my
it's very
routine.
Difficult to break that too.
Yeah, it is. It's very difficult to break it because you're in that, you're in that cycle. You've got an element of friends that you look forward to meeting on Monday, Tuesday, or in my case, Wednesday, or whatever the case was. But, you know, and this hasn't been disrespectful to anybody, but, they were just drinking buddies. That's all they were.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of things changed for me when I quit. I changed my company. I had to, you know. And you probably find, to a certain element, people maybe not disowned you, but they don't bother about you because you're no longer part of that
what
circle.
What they were not using you for, but what, you know, they engaged with you for. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of things, but it's realising that you've got an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is an addiction. To be honest with you, I would categorise it nearly more as a disease. It's something, you know, it's something that exists. It's in people's genes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people can has no problem having a pint and leaving it at that. I wasn't one of those people, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know.
Ryan, you mentioned Shunny Cromsey earlier. We're joined by him now. Good morning, Shunny.
Good morning, Michaela, and good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Shunny.
Very proud of you, Ryan. Mighty man. And you've done wonderful things this last 10 years. And I was listening to what you were saying there. And the thing about you've been giving yourself a year. Well, but I come up with that one. I'm 35 years sober now.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, and having a problem and maybe wondering, do you have a problem? And, you know, or prophesying, oh, so-and-so is worse than me and blah, blah, blah. But there's one thing about the whole thing is that you can fool other people, or you think you fool other people, but there's one person you can't fool, and that's yourself,
that's
you know. So that's where I come up with the year thing. You know, if you give yourself a year, then you're not fooling yourself. So you're doing a wonderful job, and the fact that you're speaking out, maybe it will help so many other people that are struggling, you know.
You know me since I was a boy, basically, and you know I have that addictive thing, even when it comes to eating.
I think and, we all have that.
You know, if I can do it, the only thing I will say is if I can do it, I know that nearly. You know, if anybody wants to do it, and you put your heart and soul, and you, but you must want it.
Yeah.
You know, it's fair to say that, isn't it, Shunny? You really must want it.
Oh, you really, and there's no point other people want lighting candles and wanting it for you.
No.
You need to do it yourself.
You've got to have a desire to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And Shunny, do you see a lot within the music industry that, you know, fall into this way?
I can spot, and Ryan's probably the same, and anybody that's had a problem, no matter what it is, maybe not alcohol, but they can spot somebody else has got a problem 10 miles away, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Because they recognise all the signs. So you do see it, and there's so many people that you wish that you could, you know. I remember when I had a problem, and my doctor said to me, when I was a young man going well, and I went to my doctor one day, and he said to me, you're headed for trouble, you know, and I didn't know what he was on about.
Mm-hmm.
But People that are aware, you know, if you've had a problem, no matter what it is in life, you can spot other people that have a problem. And you can see so many people at the moment who are struggling, you know, and that's sad and it's tough, you know. They just wish you could help them. But yeah, unfortunately, for all the people you try and help, there's only very few that eventually they have to be in the right frame of mind, or, you know, they have to reach that point where they want to.
But it's great that, you know, the younger generations have someone like yourself, Shinny, you know, kind of keeping an eye on them.
Well,
whether it does help, I know, I suppose, you know, when you mention someone, it depends what way they're going to take it too.
Well, you sort of become a traitor overnight, you know, because all your best friends, when you were drinking and all your best friends and all your best buddies, the minute you stop, then you become public enemy number one, you know, because they feel you betrayed them, you know, so you have to make a whole new circle of friends as well and stuff like that, but it's all part of it. But I just wanted to say congratulations to Ryan.
Absolutely.
I wish him continued success, and he's a wonderful guy, a wonderful musician with a wonderful family, and upwards and onwards, and keep her lit. That's it.
Well, thank you, Shinny.
Shinny, thank you so much for calling in this morning. I suppose that's nice, having that kindness of someone, you know, that Shinny was saying, that you're the same now, you can identify somebody that's maybe struggling with alcohol addiction.
Yeah, you can totally, and it's not that you're looking out for it, but you do see it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the sad part is, Michaela, you know, and particularly for me, and I'm speaking for myself here, the sad part is, it's not a nice environment for children to be raised in, you know, to show that example. I'm very, very lucky. Now, my eldest two daughters would be the two that would remember me drinking most.
Okay.
And they'll go out and have a drink, and I have great respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tell them not to do that, but they're very aware. And we talk about it at home all the time.
Mm.
They're very aware that I carry that problem. And they're aware.
And are you conscious of that? You talked earlier about, you know, that addictions in people's genes. Do you be conscious of that then?
I would be conscious of that, because I do feel it can run in families.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, and I would be conscious, and I would, and you know, I have got them that they're aware of that as well.
Yeah.
Just be careful, you know. There's no problem, and again, I can't stress it enough. I have no issue, and I admire and respect people going and having a drink. You know, you know, I work in that environment, and you know,
mm-hmm.
we need pubs and socializing, but there is an element of people like me that just, you know, becomes reliant on alcohol. You know, it becomes an everyday thing. And if you're drinking every day, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and as I say, as big as the problem is for you as an individual, if you've got a wife or you've got kids, it's a bigger problem for them.
Mm.
Because it's not a healthy environment to, regardless of, you know, of anything, it's not a healthy environment to raise children in.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing, you know. So,
but it is hugely admirable. You talk about admiring people that can just have a drink, but what you've done, I think, is amazing. You've recognised the problem and you've worked towards finding the resolution. And you talked about picking a date. What did you do between, you know, in the first year? What kind of mechanisms did you use?
The first year, I took it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I really had to, you know, there's. So you know, I did go to a couple of meetings,
mm-hmm.
and I learned from that. You know, I was even embarrassed. I wouldn't go to a meeting at home in Inishowen.
Right. Okay.
You know, because I didn't want to, you know, be going and joining people thinking, oh, you know, he's here, he must be an alcoholic. All these strange things going on in my head. But
that is so understandable.
It is, yeah. But you know, I can't state this enough. There's lots of help, Michaela. You know, anybody that feels they're drinking too much, there's lots of help. Lots of help. It's there, widely available. If you're ready to make the change in your life and you want to make that change, the help's there. What I will say is simple things like, don't get bored. You know,
okay.
Keep yourself active. You know, keep busy. Don't be lonely. Loneliness can cause. You know, can cause people to turn to alcohol, and I am aware. For some people, maybe do be lonely, and that's a hard one to overcome. The other thing was that I found whenever I felt that I needed to I wanted to go to the pub and drink. Mm-hmm. So automatically I was craving something. I found I was able to fool my craving by going and eating something.
Okay.
Should it be a cup of tea and a bit of toast?
Yeah.
But your body's longing for something. So if you just go and put on the kettle, sit down and eat something and relax yourself, you probably find that craving will disappear.
It's like someone smoking and they're trying, you know, they tend to eat a lot more sweets to count. It's just that mechanism of putting something in your mouth,
yeah,
I suppose.
Exactly. And, you know, for me, and I'm not looking for sympathy by any means, but for me, it was a tough enough year, the first year, because it wasn't the case that I couldn't go into a pub, because being a musician, I was there every weekend. So I was in that environment. When we were gone off on tour and we were doing things, some of my friends says to me, oh, you've become so antisocial. You've become boring.
Right.
And I did. And it took me a long time. I was able to do my gigs, but I would generally clear off and go to bed.
Yeah.
And it took me a couple of years to cross that border. Now I have no problem. I could go to a pub and sit all day and you know, talk to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel very strong about it. And look, I'm very lucky to come out the other side, to be honest.
And do you feel that you still think about it every day, or you've reached that stage now where this is your life?
It never really crosses my mind until someone asks me,
mm-hmm.
or to see someone else, okay, that I was that person.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you do see that a lot. You know, you do see that a lot. So, no, I'm very, very lucky. I people say to me, you're 10 years sober. Will you ever go back drinking again? The saying never say never, but I feel so strongly about it.
Right.
And I'm afraid of it.
Yeah.
I am afraid. Some people will say to me, Michaela, why don't you try a zero alcohol beer?
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you engage with them at all?
I strictly don't recommend it.
Yeah.
If you're an alcoholic, you do not want to be around the taste, mm-hmm, of beer or anything that represents it. You know, for me, zero alcohol beer is for your regular person that can go and have a drink,
mm-hmm,
and leave it. And that's for that guy that's going, or girl that's going into a bar that's maybe driving. And they can handle, you know, that's a person that can handle drink. But for someone who has a drink or an alcohol addiction, I do not believe for one second that zero alcohol is the road to go.
Yeah.
You know, I really think you need to just cut clean.
Yeah.
At least that's how it was for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ryan, what would your message be to anybody who is listening to this today now that was maybe in the position you were in?
Well, my message would be, look, If there's someone out there that feels they're struggling with alcohol, don't be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to talk about it. It's not something to be embarrassed about. It's, you know, it's not something to be proud of, but it's not something to be embarrassed about. It is an illness.
Yeah.
What I would say is, if you are feeling unwell or you've got a problem, you've got a rash in your arm, you're going to go to the doctor,
mm-hmm,
and get help. If you've got a headache, and it won't go away, you're going to go to the doctor and get help.
Yeah.
There's help for this. This is no different. It's a disease. It's something that's there, and there is help.
Yeah.
You must be prepared to face quitting and all that comes along. So, you know, for anybody that has struggles, you know, don't be afraid to go to an AA meeting. Taking that first step is the bravest and the hardest part, Michaela.
Yeah. I suppose going to the AA meeting, everybody's in the same position. So there's anybody that thinks they should be ashamed, there's absolutely no need. Everybody has the same, you know, thinking when they're going to their meetings.
They're all there for the very same reason, and everybody has a story, and you know, they're going to AA is not going to make you quit. The only person that can make you quit is you, you know, but AA can certainly offer a lot of help and advice and things like not to be lonely and, you know, try and keep yourself occupied. I never really was a coffee drinker before I quit drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I turned to coffee.
Right.
And now I can't do any day without six mugs of it. So
that's a lot, six now.
but
yeah, whatever helps anybody get through. Yeah,
you know, it's the less of two evils.
Yeah.
No, you know, there's lots of help out there, and for anybody that wants to quit, you know, reach out. Even I don't mind. I've several people has came in contact with me, and I can. I'm not a counsellor. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not.
But
here
you've experienced it, and you.
I've lived it. Yeah, I've lived it, and you know, Shuni Cramsey has lived it, and you know, there's other people, close friends of mine in this industry, has lived it, and they have come out good. Mm-hmm. Michaela, there's so many people that I know that are now gone. You know, it has killed them.
Yeah.
And particularly in the entertainment business industry, because as I say, we're part of that environment.
Yeah.
We're there all the time. And, you know,
it's very difficult.
You know, it's like letting a child into a sweet shop and telling it not to touch sweets, you know, so.
Well, Ryan, you're definitely a great example. And anybody listening, I'm sure they'll take inspiration from you. And a massive well done. And
well,
thank you so much.
And, you know,
sharing your story.
Thanks for inviting me on. I really appreciate it. And if even only one person takes something from what I've just said, you know, if it helps, that's what the goal is, you know, is to help people. I got help. And, you know, people came to me and offered help to me. And I certainly would try and help anybody that I can as well, you know.
Ryan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Michaela.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Loads of comments coming in paying tribute to Ryan, saying, well done to Ryan for speaking up. A top musician is that message. And anybody who is struggling with addiction, you can contact the HSE West County Donegal Alcohol and Drug Service. Their address is 9 St Union's Court, Convent Road in Letterkenny. The phone number there is 074-91-28769. And for support, information or advice on treatment option, you can contact the helpline, free phone 1-800-459-459. That's available Monday to Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And the email is helpline@hse.ie. Now, yesterday I described myself as somewhat of a Fairweather GAA fan, but someone who definitely isn't is Dara Crawford. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio now by Dara, along with John Conaghan, a key worker with Dara, and Diane Crawford, Dara's mum. Good morning to you all.
Morning, Michaela.
Morning.
How are you?
All good. So you have taken on a huge project in Dara, wanting to visit the 40 GAA clubs across Donegal. So maybe Diane, you'll tell us a bit about Dara first.
Yeah, so Dara's 23. He's from Lufford. Dara has been a mad GAA fan from very, very young, as we are ourselves. So he's grew mm-hmm. up with it. He went to Little Angel School here in Letterkenny, and this passion for GAA was shone through there as well. He left there and joined the CA Hub in mm-hmm. Balbuffet, and John, his key worker here, has really, he's a GAA passion himself, so he brought that to the front with Dara, and it's came through there. Dara has a very rare chromosome disorder, is called chromosome 10q deletion syndrome. So he has a lot of development delays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to see that his inclusion and
absolutely.
Everything has been shining through here with the GAA. It's absolutely brilliant.
So John, when did this project start? You've been involved as well with this, visiting all these clubs.
Ourselves at Donegal Community Inclusion Training Services, we would hold PCP meetings, so person-centred meetings, for our service users.
Mm-hmm.
And when I became Dara's key worker, it was obviously the theme was going to be about GAA, but we just didn't know which way we were going to go around mm-hmm. it. And Dara's ambassador down at his own club in mm-hmm. Lufford GAA, and he opened up the walkway, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
And he took me down to Lufford GAA, so he did, and showed me about, so he did. And I just thought to myself, you know,
got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Back.
So we decided to go around and visit all the clubs, didn't we?
Got it.
And grab a cup of tea and have a good time.
A cup of tea is the most important thing, isn't it?
Big fish.
And so when we went to Downey's GAA, we went to the beach afterwards.
Lovely.
So
make a day out of it.
Keelan went too, that's right, yeah. So we had a great day. So then, that's how it come about, and it's absolutely just it's taken I don't know how you could explain it. It's just been overwhelming, but all positive, all brilliant.
And you've been popping up everywhere. And has it been difficult to organise? Because I suppose trying to, you know, get the trips planned and everything like that.
Yeah, I would say no, because like even our own services, DCITS, like, I mean, the support I've got from my line manager, Anya Hanlon, and my senior management has been brilliant. Like, they love new initiatives. So when we come with this idea, it was like, oh, it was like the questions that were brought to us. It's like, what can we do? What can we do to help this and make this possible? So it's very person-centred to Dara, so it is.
Yeah.
So anything that we could, or my service could do to help, we had absolutely all the support we needed. As far as the GA community, they can't do enough. Like,
yeah.
You know, everyone, I remember last year coming out of the Galway-Donegal game, and Barry Malloy, the chairman of Glenswally, just stopped me on my tracks and he goes, anything you just need, lads.
Oh, very good. You know,
so that's been brilliant.
And Diane, you did talk about that inclusivity. It's brilliant that, you know, this is Dara's goal, that he wanted to visit the 40 clubs and that he is being facilitated and everybody's so open to him.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've gone to some of the clubs as well. We've taken him at the weekend to visit some of the clubs, and the welcome he gets from everybody. You know, they bring in senior players to welcome them there. They have the children then, even some of the clubs that he's went to recently. The national school children are there giving him guards of honour. And,
oh, brilliant.
And even for the children to see that somebody with a disability can still be included and can still be part of all the hype and everything that's been on in GAA is just brilliant.
And what about in terms of travelling to the matches and, you know, the facilities at the matches? How are they for Dara?
Depends on the grounds.
Yeah.
The majority of the time it's fine. Dara travels okay, no problems. And most of the clubs are accommodating. They have, you know, disability areas for him, and most of them have great facilities as well for people with disabilities. So it hasn't been an issue, really.
Yeah, well, that's good. So, John, how far through are you now in this campaign?
So yesterday we were at Red Hughes GA, and that's also number 19. Yeah, we were there with Stephen Gallagher, and county player Johnny Carlin came to visit, didn't he? That's right. And we had a nice cup of tea.
Another cup of tea.
And we went a walk around the pitches, right? And so that's us at 19. And next week we have Glen Finn and Buncrana, so that will bring us up past the halfway mark.
Brilliant.
So
you're gearing up now for the big match, obviously, next week.
We sure are.
Who's going to win the football, Dara?
Cork.
Oh, that's the Harland. Cork's going to win the Harland.
What about next weekend,
Who's
Dara?
Going to win the football?
Donegal,
of course. And I was just doing a bit of research as well. And, you know, Dara seems to be quite popular with the players as well, Diane.
He is, all the players, probably down to what John and them are doing in the hub as well. The county players have been to some of the visits that they've done. Anya Hanlon as well, when we played Derry in the first championship game, she arranged a VIP backroom visit for him, so he got around the back that day in McCool Park, and all the players gave up their time, and even though they were exhausted after the game, every one of them came over and greeted him and got their picture taken. He also met the ref that day, who's going to be reffing next Sunday as well, Brendan.
Whisper into his ear, Dara.
And he gave him his referee book. So
very good.
The players,
I'm sure, you've collected quite a bit of mementos along the way, have you?
Oh, he's, as I always say to John, I can set up one of them stalls outside Crook Park and sell hats, scarves and ponchos. He's got so much stuff, and I mean, every club that he's been visiting as well have been so generous. That's not what this was about, really. It was about him going to visit a club and just have a look around the park, but they've been welcoming him, they've been giving him gifts, he's come home with cakes and buns, and everybody has just been fantastic and welcoming him and including him and everything. He was actually made an honorary member of Pettico there last week as well when he visited them.
Brilliant.
That's right. And you have a lifetime ticket at Ardragy.
Good fault.
We were in and we seen their sensory room, didn't we?
Good fault.
So they are making great strides to watch and please they opened up a sensory room there and we went down to see it, didn't we?
Good God.
Keelan was with us too, that's right.
Very good.
So Dara likes to bring his friends along too.
Well, that's great. It's his day out for the family and friends.
And too, yeah. And big shout out to everyone in CI Balbuffet Hub.
People waving in the window at us now. So where can people follow along with Dara's campaign? We have, what is it? I can't do mental maths here. 21 to go?
21 to go, yeah. And if they log into Facebook, onto the Donegal Community Inclusion Training Services Facebook page, you can track Dara's goal there.
So perfect. You know. Great. Yeah. And these are decked out in the Donegal colours, so no doubt who you'll be supporting next week. But thank you so much, and good luck with all the rest of your adventure. It's brilliant. And it's great to shine a light, actually, on the clubs as well themselves, I suppose.
Oh, 100%.
You know, because some of them, the facilities are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been great. And, like, for Dara to be doing this too as a non-verbal person speaks volumes in itself, like...
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's amazing. Well done to you all. Thank you so much for calling in today.